Christy shared a story with me this morning. This little boy went to church, and when he was standing out in the vestibule, the foyer, he was standing there looking at this plaque on the wall, and on the plaque was all these different names, and a lot of them had stars by them. And he was standing there looking at the stars, and he was looking at the names, and he was looking at the stars. And the usher that was in the back said, "What are you thinking about, Sergeant?" He goes, "Why do some of the names have stars?" And the guy says, "Well, those are the people who died in service." And the little kid stood there a while and said, "Sunday school or church?" She told it to me, and she stole it from Joel Osteen, so it goes back away. Anyway, today is Memorial Day. It's a day that we remember. We remember what happened, that people have given their lives so that we could have freedom. It all started a long time ago, actually. It was started by a guy, and you guys probably know the name, John A. Logan. Junior college down in southern Illinois. General John A. Logan started it, and he said that they should go out and decorate the graves of the fallen comrades who fought in this war, the Civil War. And the interesting thing is that for years they have counted the number of soldiers who passed away in the Civil War. 620,000. They have done another recount within the past few years, and the number was bumped up to 850,000 soldiers gave their life. And with that number, even with the other number, but with that number, that is more people have given their life on American soil than all of the other wars combined. That includes 1, 2, Korean, Vietnam, Spanish American, every war that we've ever been in, more people gave their life during the Civil War than any other war. And today's the day that we're supposed to take some time to try to remember these people and honor what they have accomplished. Now, I'm not here to throw dispersions on them. I my dad was a soldier. My uncles were soldiers. Some of them were Navy people. You know, I just had family in all different, from Korea right on through, and Vietnam, cousins and stuff. And my hat's off to them, because they went through a lot to accomplish what they did so that we could live the life that we're living. And like I was trying to tell the kids, freedom to assemble on days like this and worship God, freedom to speak our mind, freedom to travel. A lot of people can't travel. I was talking to a lady from Vietnam in Noble. You guys probably know her. And when she goes back to visit her home, she says, "I can't travel. I can't leave my village or my place until I go to an office and check in and tell them where I'm going." And then she said, "And no matter where I go, there's always people following me and watching who I speak to in my home country." And she said, she was just talking about how great she likes it over here because she can go and speak and be friends with whoever she wants to. It's important that we honor those people, but don't think it's limited just to our soldiers, sailors, and Air Force people, Marines, and throw in all those other people who are wearing uniforms. I've been listening to classic radio and some of the old-time broadcasts. Some of them are really funny. Bob Hope shows and Burns and Allen and people like that, you know. And I put it on the radio while I'm driving, and they play old commercials also. But one of the things they keep asking for is, during this time of war, ladies, would you please save all of your grease and turn it into your butchers? Because we're taking the grease, turning it into glycerin, and that is used to make sulfa drugs, which is used to fight infections in our soldiers. And said, you don't know if you got somebody that's family or friend, it could be this, the glycerin that's made from your collection that actually is saving your family or your friend's life. There are people who stayed here, and they also supported the war effort. They grew, they built, they made, and they provided supplies, not just to the war, but also to the people here at home. And you see that poster about women. We can do it. Yay! And it's right. I knew a lady who worked on the landing ducts that you see in old war movies where they come off the ships and they look like boxes and the front end drops down. She's telling me, she goes, "I was a welder and I'd weld the guns on those things." And I'm like,
"You're so little. How could you do that?"
And she'd just tell me stories about what happened when she was welding all this stuff. We, as American citizens, have stood together and we fought for our country and we've supported the people who have fought for our country. But a lot of times there's a different narrative being told these days and has been for the last 20 or 30 years. They are telling something different than what actually was going on in many cases. What was America's soldiers and citizenry standing up for? To tell the truth, and they don't mention this, it wasn't for a holiday. It wasn't for the beginning of summer vacation. It was for this: the Judeo-Christian values that this country was founded on. They were standing up for what America was, for what America stood for, and they were trying to maintain that so that it wouldn't be just here in this country that it was taken away, but in other countries against fascism, Nazism, communism, and all these other isms that are taking over, that were trying to take over the world at that time. They were standing up to it. And I'm a baby boomer, so I was born after that war, but the truth was still maintained and spoken of, and most of you probably watched a television show where Superman would say, "For truth, justice, and the American way of life." And I was raised with that, and I'm going, "For truth and justice and the American way of life." And the American way of life was based on Judeo-Christianity. People came over from Europe to get free so that they could worship. They got so that they could practice their religion, so that they could stand up for what they knew and understood to be what's right. A lot of times the history is being changed, and you'll hear them basically saying it not quite so bluntly. But as most people came over here just to make money, that's all it's about. It's corporate America, capitalism, and that's an evil, evil thing. But even the Civil War was fought over things like slavery and federalism and what is right, what's wrong, and what should we stand up for. And there were Christians who stood out on both sides and fought and struggled trying to establish the truth. We have been in real wars, but there's also something that most people have not considered about this world that we live in. I know if you read the book of Revelation, they have that scroll that's wound up and nobody can bust the seals, and it's got seven seals, and they looked above the earth and they looked in the heavens and they looked on the earth and they looked below the earth and they said nobody is worthy. And John, it says he was weeping because nobody was there to open that seal. And they said, "No, don't weep. There's the Lion of Judah, and when he turns around, he sees the Lamb of God," which is Jesus Christ. And he says he's able to do it, because he is worthy. And it goes through and he starts opening. And if you read the commentaries, a lot of times you'll hear the commentators say this, that was the deed to the world. But if you really scratch around, technically speaking, no, it's not. It was a declaration of war and judgment on the governments of this world, because the Bible says the world, the earth, the world, and the fullness thereof belongs to God. What Satan took away from Adam and Eve, what he grasped at that time, was the right to reign and rule as he saw fit. He couldn't be in everywhere at one time. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. So he set up different kinds of governments and gave them to his underlings to reign and rule. And they are vicious. They fight with each other all the time. It's like some families. Fight, 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 fight. And then somebody else comes in off the street and jumps on one of the family members, and they all line up and say, "We can pick on our own family. You stay out of it. Leave him alone, because we'll..." And they'll all band together, fight that person, and then once that person... Then they'll go back to bickering just like every family does. And that's the way Satan and his groups are. There was different ones, and if you read in the book of Daniel, you'll see where it talks about the governments of the world, the Babylonian religion or the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and each one is showing how a spiritual entity tried to come over and overthrow and take more territory for themselves. I know it sounds crazy, but the governments of this world at that time was a direct reflection of the governments of Satan that was going on. And I'm just saying that so that we can see that what's going on in Revelation is the judgment of God against the spiritual governments that are influencing all the countries. And that's why the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says, pray for those who reign and rule over you. Pray for them. Intercede on their behalf. As it says in Ephesians, and I'll read it, for we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand and resist the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. Folks, to resist the evil day. Every day has got enough evil in it that we need to stand. We need to resist that. Now, before I move on a little bit more, I want to say, what has been going on since Satan caused Adam and Eve to fall, stumble, trick them, whatever you want to say, since they ceded their authority to run the world according to the government that God would have chosen for them to do? There has been this struggle for God to regain the authority over the earth. One of the biggest victories was Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And God from him created a chosen people who were not perfect, but they were the chosen people. And he gave them the laws and he gave them the prophets and he gave them also the temple worship and instructed them on the sacrifices. When they make a mistake, what had to be done? For the life is in the blood, and the blood is what causes a covering. And he was teaching them there is always a payment for failure. And we know that eventually Jesus is that payment of failure. But what happens is there's this struggle going on in the spiritual world. You can read about it in the book of Daniel. When the angel comes down and says, Daniel, God heard your prayer on the first day, and then he sent me down here with the answer. And I've been fighting and fighting and fighting until Michael came and helped me, and we won. I came through. Here's the answer. And as soon as I leave here, I've got to go back to heaven, and we have got to fight our way back through the spiritual darkness and go back up into the presence of God. See, Satan has a right to run this government, and he is being invaded. His territory is being invaded. And so there's this war going on. And once in a while, that war breaks out. The spiritual war that's going on breaks out into this physical world. And that's why we have things like World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea. As you go back through history, the Crusades, they weren't perfect, but as you go through, as these struggles break out, they come out into the physical world and there they're manifested. And that's why God tells us to put on the armor and stand against this, and we are to stand against this evil government. And when I say government, I'm not just saying, oh, we got to stand against Noble and overthrow it, or stand against the state government or the United States government. But we are to stand against evil in general. And the way to do that, one of the big things they're now disgusted with, is our Vice President Pence had the audacity to say to pastors, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go out there and tell people. And there's no reason that we can't be like Jesus or share Jesus with people like the vice president was saying to the pastors. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's one way of resisting evil. For the more people who turn away from what's bad and turn toward the good, then things pick up and everybody is blessed by it. Another thing is we can set our mind on things that are holy. We are told, put your mind on things that are holy. Think about the things that are good and pure and innocent. Think on these things. Dwell on these things. But it is a choice that we have to make. It's a choice for us to make. And another one is vote. So many people, including church people, have bought into the line, we've got to make money. Cha-ching. Whatever it takes. Cha-ching. If I get a pile of money, I will donate some to the church. Cha-ching. So the church ought to be happy. But we're not to be voting for our wallet. We're to be voting for what's right. We're to be voting and saying, who do we think will actually stand up for what's right in the long run, constantly pushing, and it may cost us on a personal level to stand up and vote that way. It may cost us on a personal level, just like it did the soldiers to stand up and fight for what's right, truth, justice in the American way. It could cost us cha-ching money. It could cost us other avenues of them getting at us. But that is what we're called to do. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death." Like those people who gave their life, Christ gave His life for us so we could be free. And as we stand up, this becomes a better place. Why does everybody want to come to America? Because it's a better place. It's not perfect. It never has been. And yes, we've always had murderers. Lizzie Borden took an axe. We have diseases. We have issues and problems. And yet we are striving to overcome those. And you can see where God has blessed nations that are turning to Christ. You can see it by go to a night map of NASA and look at the world that is done in time-lapse photography. And you can see people, nations that are Christians of a night are lit up with lights. And you can see nations that have stood against God and they're darker, sometimes just very few lights within their borders. And yet where people are turning to Christ, those nations are becoming brighter and brighter. Easy to look at. It's not always perfect to see it that way, but it's easy to look at. But you know that Christianity is flourishing in those places. When I was in Moody, the largest churches in the world was actually in South Korea. You look up the night pictures of South Korea, and the north is almost totally blacked out with just a few pinpricks here and there. South Korea is just lit up. It's all over the place. And they had the largest churches. Those were the people who were really seeking God at that time, and Christianity was really growing over there. And they were lit up. Anytime that a people are turning to God, God is willing to bless. And remember that psalm I read? The wicked dwell in a parched land. The wicked dwell in a parched land during the Korean War. Most people don't realize the North Korea was the rich part of the country. North Korea had the industrialization. North Korea was the most powerful of the two nations as they grappled for that peninsula. And now it's South Korea where those churches are. And here's something else. When we pray, if we pray and passionately, just really get down and pray, God is always willing to hear our prayers and to alter the course of history. Even today, I know we live in the last days and look what's going on in Israel and look what's happening in our world and look what's happening to our churches. And it says right there, the Laodicean churches, the love of many will grow cold and there'll be a falling away from the church. Yes, that's what's going to happen in the last days. But the Bible teaches this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. We are people of God, and if we fiercely and passionately intercede, oh really, Doyle? Oh really, people? That's true. You can go over and read about this. Think about Nineveh. God said, Jonah, you go tell them that I'm coming and they're going to get wiped out. Jonah finally gets there under much protest, and you can see the story on the wall back there. The kid's last artwork project is hung out there. And he finally got there and he went through the city and he told them the judgment of God's coming. And when you read it, they repented of their sin and God said, they have repented. I will not wipe them out. He gave them 100 or so years, give or take a few, and they went back to their evil and pernicious ways. And then he brought the judgment. God has altered the course of history before because His people interceded. He heard the cries of His children in Egypt. And He sent Moses. He heard the cries of His kids while they were in the promised land. They had fallen away and the Philistines were taking over, and He sent Samson. Samson wasn't perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be used of God. Samson wasn't perfect, but he wiped out the ruling class of the Philistines there in the last part of his story. Gideon wasn't perfect, but God raised Gideon up and he overcame every time that the people of God really turn to God and say, help us, forgive us. We want to learn. We want to walk in your ways. We repent. And they're really passionate about that. Then God will send somebody to lead them. Even now, we can pray for our country. We can change our country. Romans chapter 8, 37 through 39. But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What he's saying is, even our own sins will not separate us from the love of God. It's not our love for God, it's God's love for us, and it was manifested through Jesus Christ. He is telling us the truth here. We can stand up and fight against this. He is willing to change the course of history. He's willing to cause America to turn if His people will turn to Him and pray. And even if it's not all of America turns, Richland County can be turned. Richland County can be prayed for, and God will hear and answer their prayers. We need to get into the spiritual side of it and fight, because it's spilling over into the physical side. And the way we do that is with prayer and by showing goodness and kindness to other people. The battle is raging. There was a man, and there's a book called Reese Howe, Intercessor. It's an interesting read. It's about a man named Reese Howe, and on Battle of Dunkirk and all the things that was going on in England during World War II. It tells what was going on with him and how God was leading him and his friends to pray. And I was at Moody, and this man came and spoke to us one day. And they said, and oh, by the way, this man is a friend, or was a friend, because Reese had passed away. He said, this man was a friend of Reese Howell's. And most people in the school was like, so, who's Reese Howell? And I waited, because people was going, oh, it's great to hear from you. Thank you. This is great. We like your book. We like this, that. And finally, he turned around and looked at me, and I said, I just want to know one thing. You knew Reese Howell? And he said, yeah. And I said, I've read the books. Is it true? Everything they say about him and his prayer life and what happened. And he looked at me like, you're the only one that caught that. And he said, everything is true about Reese Howe and his intercession during World War II. And I was like, wow, thank you very much. Because I wanted it confirmed by somebody. Any people, our people, God's people, that chooses to intercede, God can and will and hear our prayer. God can change America now if my people who are called by name, by my name, are willing to pray. Shall we pray and close? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this Memorial Day. We thank you most for your Son and the memorial that we celebrate with Him on the first Sunday of every month, the sacrifice He made to set us free from sin. We're also thankful for the gift that He gave us and the promise and the Holy Spirit that He put within us so that we could pray and intercede against the powers of darkness and against wrong thinking and evil philosophies and things that just tell people to go out and do things that's wrong and to celebrate things that are wrong. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless our country. We ask that you would raise up leaders locally and nationally that would turn us back to the right. Help us to put out a true narrative about the things that can be accomplished by people who sell out and give their life to Jesus Christ and are willing to walk in His ways, truly willing. Father, give us a thirst and a desire not to walk in a parched land, but to walk in a land that is blessed. All glory and honor to you for offering us that opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.